I'm so excited about this topic. Is anybody excited about this topic? I don't know about you, but this has been a topic that we've been preparing for months. And last week and this week, we're talking about this topic. But the topic that excites me is the church. Can I ask you, how many of you are excited about church? Can you say amen? You may not be, but I know God is. I know God is. So you may or may not be excited about this topic. Okay? So continuing from last week, we're talking about church membership. And the title for today, if you could just look at it, I love this word. Therefore, we are ambassadors. What's an ambassador? Ambassador is such a special word. What is the meaning of that? Number one, an ambassador represents a nation and a king. You're ambassadors. It represents a nation and a king. And the presumption is, therefore, that nation is in another nation. And I know you're hearing it. Like a U.S. embassy in Beijing, China, or I thought of Kampala, Uganda. You're not in your own nation, but you're representing a nation and representing a king. Secondly, the king of that nation called you and to be sent to the nation. Isn't that awesome? Right? That's an awesome calling. The king of the nation that we represent has called you as an ambassador, and you are sent to this country. And thirdly, the king of the nation speaks his message through you. The king of the nation speaks his message through you. I just want to use that as an introduction. This topic really excites me. Last week, we talked about the question, is church membership a biblical idea? A lot of people, you know, when you hear the word membership, what comes to your mind is Costco membership, AAA membership, Spotify membership, I don't know, you know, your health gym membership. That's not what we're talking about. Membership literally is from the scripture. The word itself is from the scripture. We have searched the scriptures and have established that it is a biblical idea. In other words, that is from the heart of God. Can you imagine that? Last week, using 2 Corinthians chapter 12, on the teaching of the church from Paul, we learned that the church is like the body of Christ. Body of Christ. Can you look at me? I don't have a body like Pastor Paul Park or anything, but when you look at me, I have hands, I have feet, eyes, nose, ears, and then there are organs and all kinds of different members, but I have pretty useful right hand. I used to practice dentistry, and this hand was very useful, okay? But can you imagine this hand is separated or severed? Whatever the cause, whether it is an accident, whether it is a war, but hands could be separated. And can you imagine your hand on your own, my hand, this useful hand, what would happen to this hand? Not only is it not going to be functional, but it's going to die. That's just the way teaching of the scripture is. Ecclesiology, which means the study of the church, your concept of church determines your life. It really determines your life. Okay, so we want to talk about that. We talked about this last week. And, you know, you may be saying, well, my reality is going to work and making money, getting married, buying a car, different things. And then there is a spiritual reality of a church. When you become a Christian, you are united with Christ and the body of Christ. Can I just ask you, which one is your reality or realities? That's an important question, because people say, well, the reality is, There are so many things that, you know, the living expense in New York is so high, we have to work extra hours and, you know, overtime to make money one day so that I could get a house. Is that the reality? What about this reality of you are united with Christ and the church? And I would explain it this way. This is a reality, absolutely, but this is a reality that's going to pass away. It's definitely going to pass away in your life. And this is the reality. It may not seem, look like the reality that you are facing every single day, but this is a reality, truth, that's going to last forever. So we call that faith. That's the Christian faith. You do not live this reality so that this reality would help, you know, your worldly, secular reality, but you live this reality of faith and using this means to live for that reality. We call that Christian life. Does that make any sense? So church membership is a biblical idea. Absolutely is. And you have been united, become one with Christ and the body of Christ if you are a person who was born again and become a Christian. That's just simply what the teaching of the scripture is, and that's the gospel reality and eternal reality. I quoted Mark Dever, founder of the Nine Marks of Healthy Church Ministry, this one quote: membership is a membership in a local church is intended to be a testimony to our membership in the universal church. That's a very important message. Church membership does not save you, but it is a reflection of your salvation. And absolutely biblical, and I agree with him. It's a reflection of your salvation. Can you imagine you are a hand and you are severed, totally on your own, floating around, just come whenever you feel like it. Do you think this hand will survive? Right? So when you become a Christian, you are united with Christ. And one of the defining marks of true conversion is what? You love Christ and his church. I don't think they go separately. Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, we share that. We love because he first loved us. It's always the waterfall, and then there is a river. That's Christianity. We love because he first loved us. And then John goes on to say, if anyone say, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. Can we just pause for a second? I love God. I'm saved. I have this love for Christ, but you don't care for the people of God. The Bible is basically saying, you're a liar. I'm not saying to people. God is saying to you, you are being deceived. You're a liar. Okay? And the reasoning is, and this commandment is we have from him, and whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's the scripture. Does that make any sense? You love Christ, but you hate his body? How does that make sense? Okay, so the essence or the nature of church membership is loving God and loving his people, loving his church. And they cannot go separately. You know, new commandment I give you, Jesus said. New commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. Again, the waterfall and the river, right? And then he said, well, if you do that, all men will know that you are my disciples. I love that, you know, result. It doesn't say the world will know. It says all men will know that you are my disciples. In other words, not only the world will see that God is real, that you will know you are disciples of Christ. How many of you know you follow Christ and you are a disciple of Christ? Would you say amen? I know there are people. And then there are some of you on your way to become one. Praise God. Praise God. So that's where we left off last week, and we want to continue on the topic. So what does it mean to be a member? Okay, we know that's a biblical word, melos, from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Literally means hand, feet, parts, or members. It's a literal biblical word. A member of as a local church, what does it mean? And I want to begin with, again, what is a church? And I have a working definition. It's not perfect, but I worked on it. Okay, if you could listen. Local church is the local gathering of the believers who have been saved by his grace and through faith in Christ, whom Jesus has called under the lordship and kingship of Jesus to submit and obey to follow him for the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's not perfect, but it's all right, right? Yes? Right? Let me just repeat that. Local church is the local gathering of the believers who have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, whom Jesus has called, parakaleo, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, kingship of Jesus Christ, to submit and obey, to follow him for the mission of Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a church? Are you a church? Are you a member of a church? Okay. I think that's a fair question to ask. In other words, church is an institution that Jesus himself instituted and building now, and he will continue to build until the end, until he returns. Okay? Your reality will definitely pass away, but this reality will continue. That's what we believe in Christianity. So local church is where Jesus is the Lord and King of your life. If you're not submit to it, if you're not commit to it, you are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Okay, I know it's a pretty tough words, but I want you to think with me. Local church is the local manifestation of the kingdom. Local church is the local manifestation of the kingdom. Kingdom of God, eternal kingdom of God, here on earth now. So Jesus, who is sovereign, Lord Yahweh, of all creation and history, has instituted the state, United States government, okay? With the authority, with the sword, right? That's what Romans chapter 13 shares. On the same token, Jesus, who is the Lord of the church, instituted the church with the lordship of Jesus Christ and with authority. It's not like whatever goes. Does that make sense? Let me just at this point share a key quote by Jonathan Lehman. And I was reading this his book. It's such a great book. And much of the thoughts is from that book. And, you know, it really blessed my heart for the last few weeks. Okay? This is what he wrote in his book titled How the World Knows Who Represents Jesus. Okay? Just as the Bible establishes the government of your nation as your highest authority on earth, when it comes to your citizenship of that nation, so the Bible establishes the local church as your highest authority on earth when it comes to your discipleship to Christ, which means you follow Christ, your Christian life, and your citizenship in Christ's present and promised nation. Some of you, I forwarded this during the week and had a chance to think about it. Is that a true statement? Is that a biblical statement? I think it is. It is a biblical statement. Bible, God established the government or the state of your nation as your highest authority. In other words, you have to submit and you have to obey to the rules and the law of this nation, right? On earth, when it comes to the citizenship of that nation, on the same token, the Bible establishes the local church as your highest authority on earth when it comes to your discipleship, meaning you are walking as a Christian, right? And your citizenship in Christ's present and promised nation. I want you to think about that for a moment. So today, I want us to look at church membership in that light, the kingdom. And we are called to be a citizens of that kingdom. Jesus instituted the state, and by giving in the authority, the power of sword. That's Romans chapter 13. In other words, the government can take your life if you violate and threat the nation. They could literally take your life, penalize you and punish you, imprison you, and God has given the government the power of the sword. Romans chapter 13. And similarly, Jesus has instituted the local church by giving it the power of the keys. Power of the keys. That's from Matthew chapter 18. We talked about church discipline last week. And many of you had negative feeling toward that word, church discipline. But we have established that who gave that idea of church discipline? Jesus did. Can I just ask you one more time? How many of you believe that Jesus is building his church right now? Could you say amen? So he gave church discipline teaching to build a church. Let me ask you a second question. How many of you believe Jesus loves his church? Would you say amen? Amen. He gave church discipline because he loves his church. I hope you get this. Imagine, just like this teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you leave the sexual sin, that's literally what the topic was, sexual sin. A man, a member of a church, having a relationship with a stepmother. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we would say, oh, we should love him. We should cover him. Don't do anything. But the Bible says completely opposite. You have become arrogant. You need to remove him from the membership. That's the Apostle Paul. And you may be thinking, wow, that is so not loving. But that's exactly what Jesus has taught, you know, disciples to do and the church to do. Do you follow that? And explains that if you leave that kind of sin in the church, like the leaven, it's just gonna spread all over the place. The fact of the matter is, the church let that go, and probably will let this go too, and let this go too, and let that go too, and before you know it, it is no longer church. Do you understand that? And in Matthew chapter 18, in the teaching of Jesus regarding the church discipline, if the brother does not listen to the church, actually treat him like a Gentile or a tax collector. And then he says this peculiar verse, whatever you, church, bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. The teaching is church has given the authority from above, to church discipline his people. They are Christians. They represent Christian. And he's not when she's not. Okay? In other words, state or the government has a mechanism or a system for establishing and maintaining the basic structure of the nation or that society. Let me give you an example. Deciding who's going to be the citizen of this nation. Can you just do whatever and become a citizen of U.S. government? You cannot. You have to pledge your allegiance and carry out your duties. You cannot, like, overnight and just take a boat from some other nation and just get into the nation and become a citizen right away. You can't do that. Is he a citizen of USA? Is he a legal resident, or is he a spy from another nation? On the same token, local church also has a mechanism and system for establishing and maintaining the basic structure of the church, such as deciding who are the citizens of his church and of his kingdom, and who are the members of his church. Does it make sense? Absolutely does. We want to see this church membership in that kind of light. It's not Costco membership. It's not AAA membership. It's not a club membership. It's not a political organization membership. Depends on your interest and your need. It's not. You are submitting to the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to be a Christian. Okay? When you become a Christian, that's what you're saying. You're not just saying he's my Savior, but he's my Lord and my King. That's what it means to be a Christian. Church membership begins as the member or the citizens of that kingdom of nation Not as a club, not as a service station, but gather under the kingship and lordship of Jesus Christ. I know this is so countercultural. You don't want to hear that. But I am sharing what the scripture teaches about what church is. If we are to represent a nation and a king in this enemy territory, we have to be a church that represents the king and that represents the nation, so that we will faithfully carry out the message that he has given to us. Otherwise, what are we then? Okay? So today, church membership is a biblical idea, and we looked at it. And to be a member of a local church is what it means to be a Christian. And today, we want to think about, as a citizens of the kingdom, what is a local church to us? Okay, it's a very interesting question. What is the local church to us? And secondly, so what does the local church do for the members? And lastly, to be fair, what is our responsibilities and duties as members of the local church? Okay, I want to deal with those three questions. First question, what is the local church for the citizens of his kingdom? Again, using Jonathan Lehman and his teaching in his book. Very, very interesting, okay? I want you to think about this. Jonathan Lehman wrote, I want to start with one metaphor that we can build on. It is one that replaces the club or service provide idea, and the metaphor is the embassy. Embassy. It's brilliant, okay? Let me explain. What's an embassy? Basically, he's saying that local church is an embassy for the kingdom citizens and a different nation. What's an embassy? Embassy is an institution that represents, again, the nation and the king. Does that make sense? Right? Secondly, an embassy, it declares the home nation's interests to the host nation and the king's message. Does that make sense? We don't just do whatever. We're not here to just be assimilated to the world or this host nation. We're not. God specifically raised this representatives or the ambassadors to represent the nation and represent his message. And thirdly, an embassy is what protects the citizens of that home nation living in that host nation. About 10 years ago, Newhart went to a mission trip to Jordan, Middle East, actually. And it was a great trip. We went to, what is that sea? Dead Sea. And we had a wonderful time there. And our team was ready to leave and come back to U.S. And we went out to the airport. And one of the members of the missions team had a problem with her passport. She was a U.S. citizen, but the passport had a problem. So she could not come back to U.S., come back home with us. So one of the leaders stayed behind with her to take care of the problem. After we came back, she had to go somewhere. What is that place? U.S. Embassy. Okay? So she went to U.S. Embassy and basically to get validated, to get a valid documentation to prove that she is a U.S. citizen, and a document that shows that. And she had to get that from the embassy so that she was able to come home. Okay? Now I want you to think about something. Embassy did not make her a U.S. citizen that day, but the embassy officially validated it. And that's what the local church is. I'm a U.S. citizen. I mean, I look like a U.S. citizen, but I'm a U.S. citizen, okay? You know, let's say I go to Africa and I tell them, I'm a U.S. citizen. I am. Look at me. I am a U.S. citizen. Nobody's going to believe me unless I have a valid documentation. I cannot go to the nations and basically say I'm a U.S. citizen without any proof of that. But you know who could do that? An embassy can. The local church can do that. Okay, embassy can affirm my citizenship, and embassy can protect me in that host nation. That leads to the second question. What does the local church do for the citizens? Number one, it validates your citizenship, your salvation. You are a Christian. You represent the kingdom. Okay? Secondly, it protects you and gives you benefit of that kingdom in the host nation. But here's an amazing truth. If you could just think with me, okay? Local church is like an embassy. It is an embassy that represents the kingdom. But the amazing truth is that you, as a member of that embassy, you are the ambassadors. You are the ambassadors. Do you catch that? We are the representatives of that kingdom and the king. And that's today's text. And I don't have to explain time to explain the whole thing, but I want to explain. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. In other words, your citizenship has been moved from the kingdom of sin and Satan to the kingdom of grace and Christ. Your citizenship has been changed. That's what it means. If you are in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old has passed away. Behold, and the new has come. Is that clear? People say, which country do I belong to? I'm not sure. So many times people say, I don't know which country I belong to. You need to get your act together. Okay? Really clarify which country you belong to. It says, if you are in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, and the new has come. And all this is from God. Sovereignty of God in salvation, right? It's all God, people, only by grace. Don't have the time to explain that, but who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's loaded. We were separated. We were enemies. We were citizens of enemy nation, but we were reconciled, found peace with the King. Through Christ. That's the gospel message, and that's Christianity, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, I went to Africa many times, and I've been to some government places. They use that expression, the ministry of commerce, ministry of health, and God has given the church the ministry of reconciliation. Sounds like a government term. That's what local churches do. Ministry of reconciliation given from the King. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. That's an amazing word, which I don't have time to explain, because that word, not counting, is logizomai, not imputed sin upon you. Justification by faith. That's the gospel message. If God began to count your sin, nobody's going to be the citizen of his kingdom. But he made a way so that you could be a citizen of his kingdom. In fact, the righteousness of God through the King coming to this earth by himself and giving himself for you. That's the message. Okay? Not counting their trespasses against them and trusting to us, to the church, to the local church, the message of reconciliation. King has given us the word. We are not to go there and just make friends and be rich and buy a house, having children. No, those are just the means. But he has given us the message of reconciliation, the gospel. Interesting thing is, the original word for that message is logos. What is that? Where do we see that? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word, logos. And the word was with God, logos. And the logos was God, Jesus. He has given us the message or the logos of reconciliation. That's what the local church does. Okay? And then verse 20 is today's text. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the nation and the king, people. That's what the local church is. God making his appeal through us. You know what that word means, appeal? Parakaleo. Parakaleo. God is calling his people through the local church. And the very similar word parakaleo is parakletos. Does anybody remember what that word is? Holy Spirit. Members, citizens of this kingdom, they have Holy Spirit with them. And we parakaleo the lost, dead people, enemy from the enemy nation to the kingdom through the message of reconciliation. Amazing, right? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his parakaleo through us, local church. Okay? We implore, which means we beg and we plead and we pray people to turn and repent and be an enemy, be a citizens of his kingdom. You are enemies of the king, but we, local church, implore the people to be reconciled through the message of reconciliation, which is the gospel of Jesus. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. If you are not in Christ, you are not in peace with the king. That's the gospel message. If you are not in Christ, you are an enemy to the king and to the nation. Okay, and verse 21 is the message of reconciliation itself, the gospel message. We will not explain that because it's so rich. I don't want to, you know, just rush through it. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we may become the righteousness of God. We may become, not only we are pardoned, but we become citizens of his kingdom, and we become sons and daughters of God, and we may become the righteousness of God. Okay? Local church is an embassy. If you are citizens of his kingdom, you need to gather to the local church and build your life so that we could together be the representative of that kingdom and the king here on earth. That's what local church is. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15? If the world hates you, know that it hated me first before it hates you. If you were of the world, in other words, citizen of this world, host nation, then the world would love you as its own because you are. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And I was thinking about this. In other words, we are ambassadors in an enemy territory. Do you need an embassy? Think about it, people. We are representative of Jesus, of that nation, in a territory where they hate Jesus, which is exactly what Jesus teaches in John chapter 15. We are the ambassadors of posted or sent into enemy territory to implore, to declare, and to proclaim King's message, not your message. We're not here to make a better world here. We're not here to bring equality in this world. That's not going to happen. We're not. We're here to deliver King's message. And here's the message. Something like this. Listen, if you repent, if you turn and believe in this life-giving, reconciling message of Jesus who died for your sin, which is the offense to the king, and he died for on your behalf, not only you will be pardoned, but you will become the citizens of my kingdom, his kingdom. You understand that? That's the gospel message. and you will become the righteousness of God. That's the gospel message. Local church is the embassy of the greatest, eternal, never-ending kingdom of all people. And the kingdom, because the king has risen from the dead, and it is the resurrected king, and he's alive, and he's coming back. That's the message of Christianity. If anybody agree with me and excited about local church, would you say amen? I don't know about you, but this excites me. When I see people who are not, I think the message needs to be delivered to you. Finally, third and last, what is the duty or the responsibility of the members of a local church? And people don't want to hear this, but that's really cheap, isn't it? You want all the benefits, but you don't want responsibilities? What kind of person are you, if you think about it? Okay. And I want to explain this in detail in the next 5 weeks when we go through the membership, church membership. And I know people have already signed up, and more people, I believe, he will draw to his church. And I want to explain this carefully because it's really loaded. But today, I want to briefly mention two duties you, as a member of a local church, that you have. Okay? The first one is, two main points. First one is submitting to the leaders. I know. Oh, you have to speak that, Pastor Paul? Well, I just want to deliver. If you're not submitting to a local church, who are you submitting to? Right? Secondly, your responsibility toward one another as a member. Okay? Briefly, I just want to go over those two things. First, your responsibility or duty as a member of a local church, you ought to submit to the leaders. Okay? I feel kind of little funny to share this from the, you know, as a pastor, but I shouldn't be. This is the word of the Lord. And the two verses that I would like to share is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 17, if you would listen. This is the word of the Lord. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of the way of their life and imitate their faith. What is the Bible saying? Is it saying your pastor is perfect? No, it's not saying that. But remember them and consider what they are teaching and kind of life that they are living. And you imitate them. Follow them. Okay, that's the first thing. The verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Can I ask you, who's watching over your souls? Are you a sort of like runaway soldier of the kingdom, totally on your own in enemy territory? Who's watching over your souls? Where is your local embassy and congregation? Who are your leaders? Right? Obey your leaders. Submit to them. And they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have an account. You know, the leaders, the pastors and shepherds, we will be responsible for your souls when you become a member of this church. And until you become a member, we are not responsible for you. Okay? So that's the responsibility toward the leaders. What about responsibility toward one another? I'm just going to be very brief. Two places, Hebrews chapter 10, Romans chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us consider how to stir up one another. You need to stir up one another. You need to encourage one another. You need to tell each other, follow Christ. And if you are separated, doing on your own, you don't care, nobody will be stirred because of you. Right? Stir up one another to love and to live and live good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know what? The first responsibility as a members of a local church is gathering, regularly gathering. Why is it so difficult for so many people? We just talked about Gallup poll says 30% of the people who used to go to church before the pandemic, and they are now, quote, worshiping live stream. People, if you separate yourself, you're not going to survive. And the other 30% only once or twice a month. And here the scripture is saying, as a member of a local congregation, the first benefit toward one another is local gathering. Local gathering. I share this for Korean service. I don't want to share it again. Can I just ask you, be honest, you don't have to agree with me. When you think of Pastor Jun, do you have any doubt in my mind, in your mind, if there's going to be gathering of New Heart, he's not going to be there? Does anybody say, oh, he's not, I'm not sure whether he's going to show up. There's a prayer meeting. There's dinner. Do you have any doubt in your mind that June's not going to be there? Does anybody have any doubt? Would you say amen? Does any, if you have a confidence that June's going to be there, would you say amen? Why can't we be members like that? It's very difficult to build a church who is not reliable. It's very difficult to build a secure nation with very unreliable citizens. Okay? Secondly, Romans chapter 13, verse 3 through 18, which I will explain extensively in our membership class, but I want to just start, okay? As a body, again, Paul uses the body illustration. As a body, human body, one body, many members, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us serve one another. If you are in Christ, Spirit lives in you and you have a spiritual gift. Some of you have a spiritual gift of serving. Some of you have a spiritual gift of teaching. Some of you have a spiritual gift of compassion. Serve one another. Love one another. So that all men will know that you are my disciples. If you are separated, if you are aloof kind of Christians, very difficult to serve the local church. You need to come to the center of the local church to serve other people. Let love be genuine and love one another with brotherly affection. It's not just once in a while, you know, buying a lunch kind of thing. What's going on in his life? Invite each other over. Really hear their stories, their struggles. Get to know each other and be a member of a body of Christ. I really believe, and I've been teaching this kind of topic before, if you become a good member of a local church, you're preparing yourself to be a good husband and wife. I really do believe that. Can you imagine? You're so loving towards your wife, but you don't care for the church and you're a Christian. Does that work? And lastly, live in harmony with one another. Love peaceably with others. Okay? I just want to close. Are you a member of a church? Can people have confidence in you, in your presence, and in your commitment? If not, which kingdom do you belong to? I'm seriously asking this question. Who is your king? Are you an enemy? Or are you a fellow citizen in this another nation in the enemy territory? I just want to ask you. I don't think there's in between. We are the ambassadors of the king, and we represent the kingdom of that king. And that king has given us a clear message, a message of reconciliation. Okay, we have a message to deliver in this enemy nation who will perish by the kingdom and the king one day soon. We have a message to tell them. We're not here to make that country better. We're not. To bring some sort of equality, making this nation a little better. No. That could be the byproduct, but that's not the message that we deliver. We deliver the message of the King of His kingdom, which is the message of the reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, God is beckoning you, calling you. If you are just hanging out there because you're kind of like runaway or beginning to be severed, beginning to be cheated, come back and be remembered to the body of Christ. I really believe He's going to build His church. I don't think church is decreasing right now. I don't think so. I don't think so, people. I don't agree with that. His church, Jesus said, all that Father has given me, I will not lose none. There's no way He's going to lose any. We, as long as we are preaching faithfully the message of reconciliation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of the truth will work and reviving the dead people, coming back to Christ so that they will become the citizens of His kingdom under the lordship and kingship of that King and become the righteousness of God. And that's what we are called to do as a church, as citizens, gather at this embassy called local church. Are you a member of a local church? Let's pray.